Hello. Welcome back to the fans. Welcome back to the listeners. Welcome back to us. This is the Creative Differences Podcast, the podcast that took a very surprising hiatus for no particular reason. I am Dallas, and we're recording this on Sunday. So happy Resurrection Sunday and happy Trans Day of Visibility to all who celebrate both of these things.
I'm Cassie, and I'm enjoying my one day of being visible before I disappear again.
Love that for you. And I'm Demi, and yeah, I don't know what happened. We just suddenly stopped recording, and life happened, and we've gone through things. Some of us have become different people in the last month. Go figure. Welcome to another episode of the Creative Differences Podcast, your one-stop shop for movie reviews, Fancast Fridays, Throwback Thursdays, and a number of other pop culture-related items. We are happy to be back, and we are back reviewing, I don't even know how to pronounce the name of this movie, Godzilla X Kong,
The New
Empire.
You don't say the X, apparently. So it's Godzilla Kong.
That's what I was... Yeah.
Godzilla Kong?
Yeah,
I've been hearing people say Godzilla Kong.
Y'all, this is just a ship name. What is happening here?
See, that's what I said. That's
not
why
a very
I've been calling
it
like Kaiju Fuck Fest 2K24 because it sounds
is
like
that
a
why
ship
you've been
name.
Calling it that, Kazi?
Well, it does,
honestly,
but it already
yes.
looked like a ship name because when I saw the X in between the names,
exactly.
I was like, that's just
yep.
a ship thing.
Yep, that's what I thought.
Somebody wasn't in tune with the fandoms. Like, they didn't. I don't know.
It's funny, though, because to me, when we saw JoJo the other day, she was saying the thing that when I see the X, I think of it as a collaboration thing. Because, like, when different people will collab, they'll
put
that in
that
there.
Too.
So it was interesting. But, yeah, I heard somebody was like, is brought to you by Godzilla Kong. And I was like, oh, it's a silent X. What a way to do that.
Could have just been an ampersand and put an and. Like, what?
Right. Just say Godzilla and Kong.
Right.
But anyway, clearly we're talking about this movie.
Yes, so we all made it back except for Gabby because I sent a picture of Florence Pugh into the group chat a couple days ago. She still has not recovered, so sorry about that, guys.
That's accurate.
Anyway, that is accurate. It happened. She was talking about, you know, never mind.
It is what
before
it is.
We get to the episode, please like, share, and subscribe because I'm about to start a new 9-to-5 because y'all did not make me internet famous in time. Now I have to get another job. So
dang it.
You know, maybe do better, listeners. Maybe do better, fans.
I was having so much fun with all the time that we were having on our hands, just hanging out. And
same. I gotta work a 9-to-5 like Dolly
I've
Parton.
Spent so much time at Dallas's place over the last month. It's insane.
That's true. There's like no stretch of like 4 or 5 days where he's not at my place at some point.
Or we're just not hanging out together somewhere.
Right. It's been a nice time.
I think I've seen you like 3 times this week already.
Yeah. And in a couple of days, you probably will again. Well, maybe, depending on your work.
No, I think on Tuesday, we'll see. It's the okay. Tuesday after that I might not. But
gotcha.
Anyway, let's talk about this movie.
Let's talk about the movie. Godzilla Kong, The New Empire. It is directed by Adam Wingard. Not really sure. He made You're Next. He made Blair Witch. And he made Godzilla vs. Kong, which makes sense. They brought him back. It is written by Terry Rossio, Simon Barrett, and Jeremy Slater. Jeremy Slater directed Fantastic Four, Netflix's Death Note, and he created The Moon Knight Show, which...
What a resume.
What a resume. It is not the last time that the Moon Knight Show will come up. Keep that in mind, fans, for Easter eggs later. Simon Barrett, he wrote Your Next, Blair Witch, and Auto Erotic. He is a frequent collaborator of Adam Wingard. I don't know what Auto Erotic is. I did not Google it. So your guess is as good as mine. I mean, I know what the word is, you know.
Is it a movie?
It is a movie. Yeah. It is a movie. Terry Rossio, this is an interesting one. He wrote Aladdin. He wrote The Road to El Dorado. He wrote Shrek. He wrote all of the Pirates movies.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote some unfortunate tweets a while back that were crazy. But great movie resume. Like, man, Terry.
Grew up on your work.
I didn't know that one person wrote all these different things. I mean, obviously, they were written by teams because that's how these movies were done. But I didn't know that this dude got it like that.
Team player.
Anyway, team player. The movie stars Rebecca Hall, Brian Tyree Henry, Dan Stevens, Kaylee Hoddle, Alex Ferns, Fala Chen, a lot of other people, but mostly Godzilla and King Kong. And the IMDb summary states.
I mean, mostly King Kong, if we're being honest here.
Not a whole lot of Godzilla.
It's one of my criticisms of this movie, but continue on with what you were saying.
And the series in general, but we'll get to that.
Dude gets top billing and he's not even...
Right? IMDb summary. Two ancient titans, Godzilla and Kong, clash in an epic battle as humans unravel their intertwined origins and connection to Skull Island's mysteries. It's not exactly what the movie's about. But
yeah, they clash, but they ain't clashing.
They have a quick little scrap, but that's not what the movie's about. Yeah. You know, it's on site, which I love.
Definitely on site.
Yeah, so the movie, let's talk about Godzilla. Not a lot of Godzilla.
Not a lot of Godzilla. That's my criticism of this movie. I came for Godzilla, and my boy wasn't in there. And there were a couple of times where he was taking some hits, and I had to think to myself, please stop embarrassing me, because why y'all doing this to my boy like this?
Like, you gotta, you know, you gotta get hits, you can get back up.
Whatever he was taking some hits, and I was like, this is unnecessary. But also, there was some behavior that he was pulling that I was like, this is unnecessary, sir, and I need you to relax.
Yeah, Godzilla's
what did that dragon do to you? Nothing.
The dragon was in the way. It's between Godzilla has to power up. If you in the way, you get ran through.
Unnecessary. Unnecessary. My boy was wilding whenever he was on screen.
Godzilla's gonna be wilding. The behavior has changed. Like, I remember when Godzilla would like swim in the water and kind of dive under bridges to not destroy them.
Nah,
move, nigga. Which I love it. I love it.
It's unfortunate timing for when this movie came out.
Yeah. Ooh, that wasn't great. That wasn't great.
I was like watching that scene, like, I can't not think about what just happened.
But it's interesting, I didn't think about it until you guys came out of the movie afterwards. Said I was like, oh, bridges.
How'd you feel about the movie overall? Just general thoughts.
So this movie, I like it so much. I think I might love it. And the reason I think I might love it is because it has a kaiju suplex. And that's not something I thought I'd ever get to say after a movie. And oh my God, it's my favorite thing. But I look at this movie the way that I look at Megan for horror movies. Like, it's a really silly movie that knows exactly what it is and leans into the silliness. And it gave me what I want. Like, I wouldn't go into Megan being like, this is the horror movie of the century and it's so scary and da da da. It's just like, what a great time that was. And I walked out of this like, what a great time that was. It's so silly. I had so much fun. A kaiju suplex another kaiju. I didn't think they could do that.
Oh my Lord. Y'all ready for a creative difference? I'm not even sure if I like this film.
Yeah. That's
right. It was exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I wasn't excited to go see it in the first place. But I went because friend outing, and I've seen all the other ones. So I wanted to see this one. And yeah, I didn't rock with this one that much, which is fine. I think maybe I don't know if I want the big action spectacles with little story anymore. I don't know if that's I don't know if that's where my head's at anymore. And I was talking to somebody about that today, because I was like, why is it that whenever we have a general movie discussion, I immediately go see a movie that proves your point and not mine? And I hate it. But yeah, it was cool. There are things in the movie that I do like. Like, you know, the monster, when monsters fight, it's fun.
They be scrapping,
man. And like, there's a sequence with Kong that's actually just really good filmmaking, to be honest. And it's very intriguing. Probably the most intriguing portion of the entire movie. So good. Really, really good. I like that
movie. When he
meets
like the main bad monster.
Yeah.
That's also, that dude is a nigga. And I love that they just keep bringing nigga monsters in.
They all were.
That dude is a different level. Like,
he was a
different
level.
The way he was leaning when he was. He roasted King Kong. And they don't even have dialogue. He roasted King Kong with no dialogue. And like you said, it is good filmmaking, because just from the body language of these kaijus, you could tell he was roasting. He said, look at this nigga right here. And then everybody
laughed. It was great. It's fantastic. That portion of the movie is amazing filmmaking. I don't know what to tell you guys. It just is. Yeah, there are like different bits and pieces of the movie that I like. And there's nothing about this movie that I like inherently even dislike. You know, it's just like, this is happening. This is cool.
Yeah.
I think after watching Godzilla Minus One, it's real. It's hard in these streets, guys. Godzilla Minus One was so good.
It was really good.
Like, the human story was something I cared about. And in this movie, I cared more about the human story than I have in recent movies of this franchise.
Mm.
But it wasn't enough.
Yeah. I don't think, I mean, you know, it's a widely accepted opinion that in this series, the human stories don't really nail it. And that's the case here too. But I will say, Brian Tyree Henry and Dan Stevens
so good.
Were so entertaining to me.
They were
I would
so
want to spin off of those two, because they have this dynamic that Brian Tyree Henry is just like, I'm here and I want to be here, but like I'm not really built for this. And Dan Stevens is just having the time of his life, the character and the actor. There's a couple different shots where they just cut to him just like giggling. It's just like, I love Dan Stevens, he's great.
Yeah, it was funny because like Dan Stevens and Rebecca Hall have like the, you know, the romance of the movie, I guess you could say. It's very obvious that you're supposed to be shipping these two characters together. But I was like, I don't even want to watch these two hang out. I want to watch them hang out with Brian Tyree Henry.
Same. It was the same way.
I care more about her and her kid together. I don't really care about him involving himself in this family. Yeah.
Not worried about it. He ain't got to be the dad that stepped up. Just hang out with Paperboy.
Exactly. And have a great time. They were polar opposites, and it was so fun. Because I felt like Brian Tyree Henry in the movie. Because I was, every time Dan Stevens would do something nature related, I was like, what's wrong with you? This is why I don't go outside. This is why I don't go outside.
This is why we stay indoors.
So funny. They're so funny together. I really like that. They put together a good, I will say this, even though I didn't like, I cared a little bit about the human story, but I really liked the casting for the humans. And I was glad that they realized that you only really need four. We don't need like 15 people in these movies.
These movies bring like a dozen new people into each movie. And it's like, you're not going to make me care about 10 of these 12 people. So why are we doing this? But they reined it in. So that was nice.
Keep it small. If you're doing the human stuff, just keep it real small. Keep it simple.
Because you know we're not there for them anyway. But I will say, I really like the visuals on this movie. Like the monster designs look great. Freaking cotton candy Godzilla. Pink. I love it. I love the glowy eyes. I'm a sucker for glowing eyes. So when the big bad shows up the first time and kind of walks out of those shadows off his freaking gangster throne, that was great. I'm always liking the design. Like even the random other creatures, like the freaking Unagi that King Kong fights in Hollow Earth. That was dope. I loved it. I was like, it's like I'm watching Avatar again. So
yeah, it's got some really good design in this movie.
I'm always about that. But yeah. Just, you know, I was there for cool looking shots, a kaiju suplex. At one point, Kong uses a smaller kaiju as a weapon against a bigger kaiju, and
it was hilarious.
Amazing.
Oh, man. In my head, I was imagining King Kong calling this little kaiju like your young blood.
He did. He had OG energy the whole movie, and I love it. I think the last Godzilla versus Kong, I had to kind of reconcile with the fact that they're humanizing Kong in a way I wasn't ready for. But now that I've come to expect it, I'm like, all right, yeah. If this nigga just pulls out a rocking chair and a newspaper in the next movie, I'll be ready for it. Because at this point, what's to stop him?
He's there at this point.
Basically,
he's graying and everything.
He's an old uncle, and I love it.
Yeah.
It's a fun time.
It's cool. Like, if you just want to go for the spectacle, go ahead. Because there is nothing else in here. It's all spectacle.
Go for the spectacle. Watch Dan Stevens and Brian Tyree Henry have a good time.
There's a cute little story between Rebecca Hall and her daughter.
Yeah, they were sweet.
It was sweet.
Yeah, not too deep on this one. Not a whole lot you got to think about. But yeah, that's Godzilla Kong, the new empire.
Yep.
Cassie didn't see it, despite being the main monster masher in our group.
I mean, yeah.
She's the one waiting for Godzilla and King Kong to kiss, to be honest. So
yeah,
that's the thing. And I don't think I'm ever going to get that.
Probably not.
Something on. I don't know. It's like, I thought about it, but it's like, I knew that this was just going to be like a bunch of humans I didn't care about, a few only monster four. Fights. And like, it's kind of like what Jimmy said. After Godzilla Minus One, I was like, this feels like it's not really fair to compare them because they're two different franchises doing things.
They're going for two very different things.
But at the same time,
I want the Godzilla
like,
Minus One thing.
It's for me, the pinnacle of kaiju action, good story will always be Pacific Rim. And until something comes close, I don't know.
Pacific Rim is just, that is masterful.
All right.
Hey, Pacific Rim is amazing.
I feel about Pacific Rim kind of the way you feel about these movies.
It's like, we got character and we got
characters. I am so sorry that you don't have taste.
It's just not that good. But this isn't the Pacific Rim episode. So when we do that throwback, we can talk about that.
Why would we do
it? We'll find a reason.
There's always
a reason. I think the franchise is pretty dead, but hey, maybe.
I mean, it could be an anniversary.
What is it? 10 years old now? 15?
I think we just passed. 2013. We just passed it.
Rip.
Anyway, we'll just do it anyway.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I kind of want to do Mad Max Fury Road. Even though we've already done a throwback for it, but we can discuss that off mic. Anyway,
fair.
10-minute take, Cassie.
10-minute take.
Hell yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. That list is getting sparked. But that's okay because it means I can find stuff. 10-minute. I watched the first 10 minutes of A Quiet Place Part 2 because that was on the list.
It was on the list.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
So let's see. We start with Lee, I think is John Krasinski's character's name. I think.
Yes. Oh, Lee. I'm sorry. Let me stop you real quick.
What up,
answer
dog?
For the people again. Are you a horror fan, Cassie?
I am not a horror fan.
You are not beating these allegations.
I mean,
nobody.
I don't know if this is evidence against the allegations, but.
Well, hold on. Also, how are we going to do this recap? Because I actually have intentions of watching these movies one day.
I mean.
I guess just don't spoil things.
That's hard because that's the whole point of the 10 minutes. It's like what happened in the first 10 minutes. There's a baseball game and then stuff goes to shit. It's basically the quickest way to go through it. And like.
So yeah. How'd you feel about it?
It's solid. I love when they do the cuts to the shots from I Don't Know Her Name, but the deaf girl's perspective, and then they muffle or mute the sound like that.
Oh, yeah. That's really good.
Good every time. It's so good. And they did it like a couple times, even the first 10 minutes, and it was like, yo, this bangs.
Millicent Simmons.
Ooh, Millicent. That's an unfortunate name for a young person.
Don't.
Like, Millie is cool, but like, Millicent, like, come on.
That's fair.
You need to be 80.
It does feel a little World War II-ish.
Anyway, I mean, it's cool. It's definitely different compared to like the first one because this starts, I think, on day one of everything falling to shit. So the first one, you're like in it. And this one is like, oh shit, what the fuck is that? But that works. Like, it's cool because they don't know what's going on. You know what's going on if you've seen the first one, but they don't. So it's like, oh my God. There's just things happening. I'm trying to be really vague because one day Demi White watches these movies, even though I doubt that she will, but she says
it's not one day. I plan to. Jesse and Dallas and I have discussed doing a marathon one day.
Yeah, I mean, we should do it when the new one comes out.
Yep, sure.
I can't remember. Is there a new movie or a new series or something?
A movie.
It's a movie. Is that the Lupita Nyong'o
day
one?
Mm-hmm.
Bless.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's you know, I kind of knew what I was getting into, but it is a good. It's a real good start to like, ooh, shit's going down, and then we're probably going to cut to later on, and man, it's going to suck to see how things have changed.
Yeah. So, is the first 10 minutes still in that flashback?
Yes. It ends with Lee and his daughter running into some building, because shit's going down, okay. They need to hide, and then you can tell something's probably going to happen in there, and it's probably going to be like a, oops, somebody made a noise, oh God. But, yeah, ends with them running to that building like, oh man. And I think the wife and the other two kids are in a car trying to go somewhere. I don't know where. They were fleeing from a bus at some point. Eh.
Man, I love that whole opening so much. And one of my favorite things is that Lee does not know he is a white person in a horror movie. Because when you're white in a horror movie, when something happens, you're, hello? Who's there? What's that? As soon as that thing runs in, Lee takes off running. He doesn't even look to see what it was. He's just like, nope.
Yep.
And yes, best horror movie person ever.
Also, like,
but yeah.
This is not a question I'm assuming the movie answers, but within the first scene, I feel like he doesn't steal some groceries, but he walks into like a convenience store, bags a bunch of stuff, says hi to the proprietor, and then walks out. And just from the jump, I was like, what's happening? What's happening? Did you just steal those groceries? Because it feels like you did.
I feel like it's small town vibes of, oh, hey, Lee, you know, put these oranges on my tab, John. You know, I don't know. I never grew up in a place like that.
Maybe.
Garage, yeah.
Lee, are you a thief? Because that's really the issue here. Forget the creatures. Who cares about them?
Very different movie. But yeah, cool. Glad you like it. Glad you like horror movies.
I don't, but okay.
How do you feel about the first Quiet Place?
It's cool. It's like, to me, it's, how would I say? It's one where I don't know, because like sometimes, like the reason that I've watched all the Saw movies is because I had read like the Wikipedia summaries, but seeing like the traps in action was more gratifying because it's like, you can read a description, but then you see it and it's like, oh, so that's how that looks. And I feel like The Quiet Place, I didn't get that much more out of watching it. I was like, okay, it's cool.
Oh, than you did from knowing the story?
Yeah.
That's fair. It's a different kind of thing than like, this is a 360 XXL bear trap. See how it works. It's like, well, I got to see how that works.
Excuse you. It's a reverse bear trap and they only use it like twice.
I'm sorry. I don't watch the Saw movies. I don't know about the reverse cowgirl bear trap and all that nonsense.
Well, you know about it if it's used on Amanda, because that's in the first movie. But then they use it again in, like, the fifth movie.
Fine. You're the expert.
Listen, watch the series. What do they say? I can't say I recommend it, but do it.
All right. So that's been 10 Minute Takes with Kathy.
Mm-hmm. Dallas, what you been watching?
What I've been watching? I've been watching a lot because, as you know, it's been a month since we
did a episode. Much stuff. And stuff came back.
Stuff came back. Stuff stopped. Stuff came and went. A lot of stuff. But what's going on right now and what I've been thinking about a lot is X-Men 97.
Hey!
First three episodes are out and I watched them and I have thoughts.
Y'all getting a review for the record.
Oh, you will, definitely. I think the finale is May 15th. So be ready for that in May.
Be ready. Ooh, that's so good.
So good. All right. It's created by Bo DiMaio, who was a producer and writer for Moon Knight and Witcher. Remember I said Moon Knight would come back if you were paying attention. Congratulations. Bo does not work for them anymore. We don't know why. We are all confused.
I would like an explanation because
we need an explanation.
He hitting it out the park. We 3 for 3 so far.
He went off with this show and then was fired and we don't know why.
Before the show came out too. I just want to say it probably was a great idea to hire a black gay man to write an X-Men show. And on top of that, he has an OnlyFans. I feel like that just adds to some of the stuff we've been seeing on the show.
Yeah, they take the right person for that job.
Episode 3 has that energy.
Oh my gosh. The energy. So,
the show stars so many people. Ray Chase, Jennifer Hale. We will come back to her. Allison Seeley Smith, Hal Dodd, J.P. Karliak, Lenore Zahn, George Bruza, A.J. LoCascio, Holly Chow, Isaac Robinson Smith, Matthew Watterson, and Ross Marquand. I had to say all those people because X-Men is a big-ass team. IMDb summary. A band of mutants use their uncanny gifts to protect a world that hates and fears them. They're challenged like never before, forced to face a dangerous and unexpected new future. It is a continuation of the 90s X-Men show that our generation grew up and loved.
Hence the 97.
Yes, hence the 97. I talked about it in a previous episode. And yeah, now I'm talking about this. It's so good. Everything about it is so good. They kept the intro, first of all. The intro slaps. You cannot change it. And they knew that.
Yeah, stop giving us the skip intro option. We ain't hitting it.
I will never touch that button. The animation, chef's kiss, on point.
So good.
The animation and the writing, everything about it is similar enough to the old one to feel very faithful to it, but not to feel that 90s type of cheesy. Like, it feels, it has the same heart. Yeah. But it ain't got all that cheese.
Like, they understood the show, but also were like,
exactly.
2024. So,
yeah. Let's update a little bit. Like, you know, Gambit still talks like Gambit, Rogue still talks like Rogue, but it's just
not
updated.
Not as cheesy.
Yeah. And their characters are, like, I would still listen to Storm give me a motivational speech about anything in my life because she be getting it.
They designed Gambit for me.
Yo.
That man came out in a crop top and long hair, and I was like, oh my goodness, Gambit. He's for me.
The first episode, they get back from a mission that Gambit's not on because he was making beignets and he missed the mission. He was making beignets in his crop top with Rogue.
That's okay. That is okay. If I get beignets when I come back from the mission, I'm not mad.
I love it so much. And Cyclops is like, nigga, where you at? That's not the dialogue. But
Should be.
Maybe not for Cyclops. But
not from Cyclops.
Give it to Bishop. But I love it because Cyclops is still that Boy Scout, but now he's really that dude. Like,
he's so
in the
that
first
dude.
Couple episodes, he gets action scenes that are better than anything any of these movies have ever given to Cyclops.
The greatest superhero landing ever.
Of all time. And it leads into the To Me My X-Men line. I was like, give them the Emmy, the Annie, the Golden Globe, the Scream Award, whatever award you can give them.
And then later on in that fight sequence, we got Storm's big moment. And
yo, they finally put some respect on my girl Storm's name because that whole scene, like her intro, what she does, the way that even the Sentinels are shook before she shows up.
Yeah, they are like Omega level mutant.
Omega level threat detected. I was like, hell yeah, she is. Love it. Man.
Back to Scott real quick, though. My boy, they made him. They were like, first two episodes, he's him, right? Mm-hmm. He's him. And then episode 3, they was like, he's also a very big simp.
Okay, so episode 3.
Episode 3 was wild. That's when I realized that this show was not made for kids.
So I want to say, all the voice acting in this show is fantastic. Jennifer Hale, if you're listening, I know you're not, but on the off chance that you hear this, I love you. I always love your work. I'm a big fan. Please chill. You gotta chill because I'm watching my Saturday morning cartoon, eating my cereal. You can't be doing this to me while I'm just watching cartoons. Like,
you can't be doing that to Scott while we just watching the cartoons. We just trying to hang out. What we doing? Scott was ill prepared for what happened to him. Because when she said, say my name, nope.
Yo. Yo.
Who am I? Say my name, Scott.
Scott had so many flashbacks in that moment.
Twitter is going crazy, and I understand completely why. I've seen that clip on Twitter so many times. The say my name, Scott.
Yo, the clip that I sent you guys, that one tweet had like, when I sent it to you guys, it had like 3,000 bookmarks. Like, y'all are crazy out here. Y'all need to relax.
I cannot confirm nor deny if I have bookmarked any of these tweets, but let's just say Jennifer Hill going crazy. And the team is going crazy with the show.
The animation team went crazy on that character design.
Yeah. And I was very happy to, you know, just from a nerd who likes X-Men standpoint, be like, oh, snap, are we doing this? We're doing this.
Yeah,
and if you've seen the show, you know,
crazy.
You know. Yeah. And also, episode 3, we get some horror vibes before all Dominatrix vibes. And I loved it because it reminded me of an episode of Teen Titans when Raven accidentally manifests a bunch of scary stuff. And that was like the kid version of what this was. So now as an adult, I can still get that same energy, but from Mr. Sinister. And I was like, oh, they either didn't make this for kids or they want to traumatize them.
One or the other. Oh, man. Also, her magical girl transformation. I'm always down
that was
for
great.
A good magical girl transformation.
That was great. Right? Into a Dom outfit.
Yeah, exactly. Also, her energy was just, it was a lot. The energy was a lot. One more thing we should discuss is Magneto, especially in episode 2.
Yo, he's so good.
He's so good. Man, that final little monologue he gave.
I am trying to be better. Please. Do not make me let you down.
Like, in the context of everything, that hits so hard. It's already a good line on its own, but just given what's going on in the scene, he killed it. And I think one thing I told you and Jesse is that, like, I grew up watching DC animated stuff and always thinking, like, man, this is the best version. I wish the movies or I wish the shows, I wish the live action, blah, 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 would get it like this. And Marvel never really gave me that, except for, like, Spectacular Spider-Man. Spider-Verse is a different thing because it's such its own version in Spider-Verse that it's like, I don't really even compare that. But, like, to have that, to watch X-Men, a Marvel animated show, and be like, this is what I wanted. Like, this is my Magneto. This is my Storm. This is my Cyclops.
I've been watching this show, and I've been like, I hope Marvel Studios, like, actually does the live action like this.
Yeah.
Because it's hitting. It's hitting real hard.
It is hitting. And even though the show obviously is inspired by and takes place in the 90s, like, there's stuff in here that you can pull out to today and make it work. Like, the stuff they do with the powers. Gambit
so good.
Charging Wolverine's claws as they go into battle.
Yeah.
Like Cyclops, for lack of a better phrasing, blasting Bishop in the back to punch him up. Like,
we got back shots?
Yeah, we got
back shots. We got back shots.
There's just so much good stuff in here. It's just like, y'all need to put this in live action. But also, like, some of the characterizations too. Like, my boy Cyclops needs to be that dude this time.
Yeah.
The old X-Men movies didn't make Cyclops that dude. He's that dude. They made Wolverine that dude. And then as soon as I started watching the animated series, I was like, bro, he a hater. Why are we?
He's such a hater.
The biggest.
And in fairness, they got some of the hater in Hugh Jackman's Wolverine too. But
they did, but he was like the hero. So like,
Yeah.
So we were down with his hateration. But like, but now I'm grown and I'm looking at it and I'm like, bro, that's, well, no, even as a kid, I was like, yo, stop scheming on Cyclops' girl. Like,
you're a loser,
weirdo.
Bro.
You know she's in a relationship. Leave her alone.
She don't want
same
you
here
to
too. That scene of that scene where she's like, "Oh, you feel that way about me?" I was like, "Bro, I need you to just back up. I get it, but I need you to relax."
Yeah, he got to chill.
He got to chill. It's been 5 seasons. Chill out.
But yeah, amazing show. We are 3 episodes in, and I am confident that by the end of it, it's going to be on my shows of the year list.
It might be on mine too.
But yeah, Jennifer Hell, she needs to be awarded and arrested for her performance. She needs to get like a killer mic, like win the award and then immediately be taken away. Because you're doing too much, Jennifer, and I love you for it. Thank you.
Oh, man. All right. Next up. So what I've been watching a lot of stuff too, but I'm going to do a movie that we did not review because we were on a weird hiatus for some reason. I went to go see Love Lies Bleeding, which is directed and written by Rose Glass. Yeah, I did. It's also written by, I hope I'm pronouncing this person's name correctly, Veronica Tofilska. Sorry if I didn't, but I'm hoping that's how you pronounce your name. And it stars Kristen Stewart, Katie O'Brien, Wood Harris, Dave Franco, and Jenna Malone. The IMDb summary is, gym manager Lou falls for Jackie, a bodybuilder who is passing through town en route to a competition in Las Vegas. Yep, that's a very general synopsis of what's happening in that movie.
Wait a minute. Wood Harris is in this movie?
Yeah, he plays Kristen Stewart's dad. He's great in this movie.
It's Kristen Wait. You say Wood Harris or Ed Harris?
Wood.
Oh, no. Right. Ed Harris. Why did I say Wood Harris?
That makes way more sense.
Sorry. I don't know why I said Wood Harris. It's Ed Harris.
Confused. I was like, Julius from Remember the Titans?
No, he's not in this movie. That would make this movie better, though.
I love Wood Harris.
I already love this movie.
Gotcha.
Anyway, my bad. Ed Harris. Anyway, this movie's great. I really like this movie. This movie was so, I don't know if fun is the word I want to use for this. I had an interesting time. I had fun, I guess. I don't know. There were definitely moments where I was like, I don't want to be looking at the screen because there is quite a bit of body horror going on in the film. There is a moment where somebody gets beaten pretty badly and it is gross. The beating is not gross. The aftermath of said beating is very disgusting. Yeah, it's a great movie. It's really interesting. I've been a huge fan of Kristen Stewart for years since Catch That Kid, if anybody remembers that movie.
I remember it coming out. I did not see it.
Yeah, I didn't go see it in theaters, but I had it on DVD, and I loved that movie, and I loved Kristen Stewart from that moment on. So I've been a Kristen Stewart stan from not the beginning, but very close to. And I love getting to see her. My favorite Kristen Stewart roles are the ones where she plays really like awkward and kind of bumbling, but is also still a badass at the same time. And that's what this character is.
Okay.
So good. I love her so much. Lou is real cool. And just, I like who Kristen Stewart has become since coming out, because now she does stuff like this, where she gets to be awkward but also really, really funny at times. Like, her reactions to certain things that happen in this movie are hysterical to me. I've been a fan of Katie O'Brien since Ant-Man and the Wasp and The Mandalorian, which came out around similar times. Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, let me be more specific about that. She was really good on The Mandalorian, and so I was really happy to see her have a leading role in something. I really like what they do with her character, because her character is a bodybuilder, but there's something still very like feminine about that character, which I really, really like, because they could have just made her like super butch, but she's not. Whereas Kristen Stewart's character is definitely more of the butch one in the movie, even though she's like Kristen Stewart, so she's small. But I really like that dynamic. I really like their like romantic chemistry and their sexual chemistry. This movie is sexy and gross and thrilling and weird and all sorts of stuff, which is really fun and what you probably expect out of an A24 film or an indie film, to be fair. And I like that. I like that a lot. It's also extremely, extremely gay. It's a win.
Your brand.
My brand. It is one of my brands. I have several brands. But yeah, it's great. It's really weird. And if you're down to watch some weird cinema, do it. But it's also got like some really cool like mobster thriller stuff in there too that I think is really well done. I think overall it's just a really well done movie. And I would recommend it. It's very, very interesting. Cassie, you saw the movie before I did. Would you like to jump in on this and add anything?
Listen, it slapped. Like, I don't know what to tell you. It slapped. Slaps. I could feel myself becoming gayer the longer it went on. That's just how it goes.
That's fair.
Listen, once
That's
it
totally
got
fair.
To the bit at the end that I was not expecting, I was just like hollering. I was having a good fucking time.
It's a real crazy, I guess it's a plot twist. I kind of saw it coming. I was not so much I saw it coming. It was, I knew something was coming and I wasn't sure what it was going to be. but I was waiting to see. Because even from the trailers, I was what are you guys setting up here? Because this isn't normal. We're not just doing normal things here. But it's also a really well-shot movie, too. I do like the cinematography as well. It's a very good-looking movie. Jesse pointed out that, like, some of it looks very, like, Amblin, like, E.T. style, like, really, like, large starscapes and stuff like that. It's a very nice-looking movie. I really adore it. It's weird. I don't even know who to recommend this to. I don't even know. Because you'll get a lot of craziness in there, and it's...
Like, I guess, on its face, I would say lesbians.
But if you can't tolerate blood or body horror or...
Yeah, I would have said lesbians who like violence.
You can't do that.
The Step On Me lesbians, I feel like, would be into this.
What lesbians?
The Step On Me lesbians.
The Step On Me lesbians.
Ah.
The Step On Me sapphics. I want to be... I want to expand
that word.
Sapphics for just any woman who likes women. Because...
I'm glad you did that. Because now I can transition into speaking of sapphics, the me. Cassie asked you a question that I think she should have asked on mic. Did you come out of this with a new fetish?
No, I did not. I did not. That's not for me.
Got it.
I'm not built for that.
Not built, buddy built.
I want to meet somebody who did, is the thing.
Okay. That's
because
fair.
I feel like that's probably a lot of people's first exposure to that fetish in a way that, like, it is not mine because, you know, the internet is. Got a lot on it, but I want to meet somebody who comes out of that and goes,
I've watched entirely too much superhero stuff for me to be into that.
Oh, you know what? Fair.
And some of it does have some stuff that leans into that. Not from like never mind.
Nope, some of it does.
Yeah, some of it does.
All right. Let's get into our trailer tracking. It's a real weird transition, but trailer tracking.
Yep, I can't. Nope. Trailer tracking. Bad Boys Ride or Die. They put out the Bad Boys trailer.
Oh, you know what? Fun fact for the audience out there, which somehow makes these two things connected. So Focus, you remember the movie Focus, which stars Will Smith and Margot Robbie? That movie was originally supposed to star Kristen Stewart and, I believe, Ben Affleck.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a very different movie.
It's a very different movie, for sure.
Yeah. I feel like every time I hear that someone else was going to be in a Will Smith role or vice versa, I'm like, wow, that's a very different movie.
Yeah, exactly. But that is that's your fun fact, and that's how those two movies connect. Bravo.
Wow.
Okay. Wow.
But yeah, Bad Boys. I'm excited because it's Bad Boys, and I love these movies, and I will always love these movies.
What number movie is this?
This is number 4. Yes. Some people are... Oh, what happened?
Lies. I'm sorry. The original casting for Focus was actually Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone, and then when they dropped out, then it was Ben Affleck and Kristen Stewart.
Wow. Another different movie.
They're all different movies. All three of these are different focuses.
All three different focuses. All right.
I like the one we got, though. So, anyway, continue.
I really like the one we got. But yeah. Bad Boys. Will and Martin.
Fourth one of the series.
Will and Martin, but old. It's the fourth one. They're bringing back Vanessa Hudgens and Paula Nunez, it looks like, from the trailer. I think Jacob Scipio is coming back.
Jacob Scipio is coming back. And I'm very excited about that because he was one of my favorite new additions of the third movie. Love him and his character.
It looks like Bad Boys.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like a Bad Boys movie. I'm excited because it looks like a Bad Boys movie. There's nothing in this trailer that that is like, ooh, it's Bad Boys.
Exactly.
And I
the general
have
vibe.
I've come to love Bad Boys, and I'm really excited to see. I was excited from the moment the third movie ended. I was like, oh, I can't wait to see what they do next with this. This will be fun.
Same. I am looking forward to it.
I am curious as to what they're all dressed up for.
Which part?
At the beginning of the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
They're all dressed up. They're not going to, like, their daughter already got married. So whose wedding are they? Are they going to a wedding or what's happening?
Right.
What's going on?
I think it's funny because didn't the third one start like that? Like, they're late and it turns out they're going to, like, the birth of the kid.
Yes.
Yeah. It looks like they're doing that again.
Although that might not be the beginning of the movie. We could be wrong.
Maybe not.
Could be anything. It could be anything. I am excited about this idea of the two of them having to go on the run. I don't think that's a story that's been told in the Bad Boys universe yet.
No, it's much more Mission Impossible style.
Yeah, they're usually just, you know, the cops doing very questionable things
terrible police officers.
Yeah. I know Training Day is ACAB, the movie, but, like, Bad Boys ain't too far off.
it's real troublesome. But yeah, I'm going to watch it and I'm probably going to love it.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what they do with, what was it? Ammo, I think is the name of the team with Paula Nunez and Alexander Ludwig and Vanessa Hudgens are back as well. And I can't wait to see what they do with that team to see. I wonder if maybe they're the ones who are hunting Will and Martin, or maybe they're like, you know, they've been charged to hunt them, but are trying to give them like time to like get away and keep away from them because they're their friends.
Right.
You know, it could, there could be a number of things going on, and I'm excited at the prospect of what it could be. And yeah, like I said, I was a fan of Jacob Scipio's character, and Will and Martin are always really funny in these movies.
I'm with it. I'm with it. I'm also excited to see what Adil and Bilal are going to do with it, because I like their work in the last one.
And I did too. I'm so disappointed that their Batgirl didn't come out, because I feel like that movie probably would have been great.
This is the first one to come out since that whole thing happened, right? This is the first movie?
I think so.
They did that?
Yeah.
I just know that their Batgirl action sequences were probably dope.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's real disappointing.
Freaking Hollywood.
Man. WB, why? Yeah, no, I guess it is. Yeah, I think it is their first project since then. Because I think, yeah, Ms. Marvel came out right before that that whole thing happened.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's one news piece that we have.
It is a news piece.
It's for me.
It is for you.
It is for me. And anybody else who grew up like me, who loved Freaky Friday, we're finally getting a sequel from Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan. Yeah, Freaky Friday 2. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's watch Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan switch bodies again. It'll be a fun, entertaining time, I'm sure. The first movie was extremely fun. And it's really interesting because looking back on that movie, like, there are really good performances in it from Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan when you consider what they have to do. And they're like both very believable in pretending to be one another.
Mm.
So I'm excited to see what that's like now that they're both older.
Yeah.
And also, like, what story do you tell to make this happen again?
That's a fair question.
It's a fair question. I just want to see I think the first movie came out in like 2003 before Mean Girls even came out.
Yeah.
So like 21 years ago.
Wild.
Wild. I was a huge fan of that movie as a kid. I remember going to see it in theaters. I also remember being very excited to see Christina Vidal in the movie because she played Taina, and I was such a huge Taina fan. Please bring Christina Vidal back for the sequel. I want Lindsay Lohan to still be playing in a band with Christina Vidal. But yeah, I'm excited. That should be fun. There's no word yet as to whether or not it'll be a theatrical release or a Disney Plus release. I kind of hope it's theatrical, but I hope all movies are theatrical releases because that's who I am as a person.
Yes, it is.
I'm a snob in that way. I'm not even a snob. I just believe in the theater experience. The movie is to be directed by Nisha Ganatra. And most recently, Ganatra directed episodes of Hulu's Welcome to Chippendales, which is interesting. And her other credits include The High Note, which starred Dakota Johnson and Tracy Ellis Ross. And she also directed Late Night, which stars Mindy Kaling and Emma Thompson. I do really like Late Night. That was a really good movie. So I'm excited to see what they do with it. Another sequel that we're getting after years and years and years, we're apparently getting a sequel to John Tucker Must Die. Let's go.
Right.
Also, that's for me, I have no idea how you make a sequel to John Tucker Must Die.
Yeah.
But I'm fascinated that they're going to do it with the cast of the original. So,
because it's so intrinsically a high school movie. Like, what do you do with these people?
Exactly.
Like 20 years later.
But it's so much. I'm like, dude, all these high school movies that I loved as like a kid and a teenager are all getting sequels, or in the case of Mean Girls remakes, musical remakes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's see how that goes. I'm excited to see what comes of it. Obviously, these movies probably will not be coming out for like another year or two. But hey, that's the news, ladies and gentlemen. We're doing it. It's happening. They're also making a sequel to A Simple Favor.
That sounds familiar. Which one is that?
That's the one with Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick.
Okay. Oh, I'm thinking for Mail.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, that one's actually a really good movie. And again, don't know what they'll do with that story to continue off from the last one, but sure, let's see what happens. The first one was great, so I hope the second one's great too. And that's all of our news, guys.
I did want to take some time to say, you know, rest in peace, Chance Perdomo.
Chance Perdomo. Oh my gosh, that one hit hard.
Yeah, it was a tough one, because also rest in peace, Louis Gossett Jr. The same day, which very different stages of their lives, obviously. Both sad, but very different reasons. That's a rough one, but rest in peace. prayers, thoughts, good vibes to the families, whatever they want, whatever they need, support.
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah, that one really sucks.
He's so young. 27.
And I had just gotten familiar with him, too, when Gen V yeah. came out.
I've been watching him for a while because of Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and he's so good on that show as Ambrose. And he's so good on Gen V as Andre.
Yeah.
Man. So if you had never seen him before, highly recommend checking out both of those shows. He is such a talented performer.
Right. If you've never seen Louis Gossett Jr. before, yes, you have.
So much.
He was acting for like 70 years. You've definitely seen him.
I love that you said, yes, you have.
You definitely have. And he was the first Black actor to win Best Supporting Actor at the Academy Awards, apparently. So,
yay.
We love that.
We love history.
We love history. So, transitioning from that, we do have some comments.
Oh, here we go.
Yes. In our absence, people talk to us. Taking it to different opinions from the people. YouTube. We are posting YouTube shorts now because, you know, algorithms. Someone commented on our short about why does everyone hate Sydney Sweeney's character and Madam Web? And I want to say this person goes by No Leveling. It's, I don't know. There's no ease in it, but that's what it looks like to me. And the comment is, we don't, which very nice. I'm glad that everybody has this. Yeah, the characters in the movie do, which was our question. But I'm glad that the audience doesn't, because we were all like, dang, stop being mean to this girl.
We were like, dang, bro, what'd she do to y'all?
What'd she do to you? Nothing.
Let her deal with her abandonment issues in peace.
That's another short. Another comment we got on our Dune Part 2. Is Paul a vision? Villain? Vision? Villain. Is Paul Atreides a villain? Comment from Fossil King. Says, correct answer is he is only human. He is neither a hero or villain. I didn't watch the movie, but I've heard some things.
I don't know.
Sound villainous.
Once you willingly commit yourself to holy war, I feel like.
By the end of this movie, we have a character who is He's inducting a whole group of people, a whole culture of people into colonialism, into imperialism.
Mm.
He could have just left them completely out of it. He could have destroyed the system, but he said, nah, I'm going to lead the system instead.
Sounds a little villainous, but hey, I ain't seen the movie, so I will.
But also, if we get Dune Messiah, by the time Dune Messiah starts, I think that he's killed like 60 billion people in his holy war, so...
With so many people.
Destroyed planets, I think, by that point. So, yeah, that's kind of a genocide, which, I don't know, by most people's definitions would make you a villain.
Yes.
From what I've heard, because I haven't read the book yet, I'm planning to read Messiah, but from what I understand, Paul Atreides compares himself to Adolf Hitler in Dune Messiah.
Huh?
Yes.
He compares himself?
Like, yes.
People don't
he
make
He understands... He understands how horrible of a person he's become. The reason why Herbert wrote this book, the reason why he wrote Messiah was because he didn't make it obvious enough in the first Dune book that Paul was a villain. So he was like, let me write this sequel real quick so that you understand he's the bad guy, not the hero.
He is bad. Wow.
So he went all in on making you realize that the man at that point is comparing himself to Adolf Hitler.
Oh boy. And I just want to say, you know, for some reason we're in a time in the world where not everyone is just like, hey, genocide's bad. So the official stance of the Creative Differences podcast is, hey, genocide is bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, sorry, Fossil King, but I think we're going to lean toward villain on that one. Moving on to something a lot more lighthearted, going to TikTok. On our short about H2O, just add water. Remember that?
Ooh.
We got a comment from my sister, Jordan.
Hey.
She says, H2O for life, heart hands emoji.
Hi, Jordan.
Yes.
Hi, Jordan.
Agreed.
And that is different opinions. Thank you, people, for your
opinions. Thank you all for your different opinions.
Yes, keep them coming because I like talking to y'all. And that takes us to the end of the episode. We did it. We came back. It's been a month. You thought we forgot about y'all. Y'all forgot about us. Anyway, thank you, audience, for listening to that. Thank you, Crayon Digital, Brandon and Io, for putting us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Demi, thank you for editing, putting us on YouTube, going to see the Monster Mash movie with me.
I do my best. I like watching movies.
I love that you like watching movies. Cassie, thank you for your 10-minute take. Thank you for being visible for us on this Transvisibility Day.
Even though this is an audio-only podcast.
Yeah, I mean, us,
invisible,
like,
to you.
Me and you. Yeah,
visible. Yeah, thank you.
Me and Demi. Audience, what did you think of Godzilla Kong? Do you like monsters the way I do, or do you like monsters the way Cassie does? If you're not sure what the difference is, ask Cassie in her inbox. You can let us know, or you can hit us on Twitter at @y'all_different, Instagram and Tumblr at @creativedifferencespodcast, Facebook.com/creativedifferencespc, or TikTok at @creativedifferencespod. If you want to talk to me about X-Men 97 and how dope it is, you can find me on Twitter and IG at @akingnamedsimba. You can ask me which tweets I've bookmarked. I won't tell you.
You know, why not? Come talk to me about monster fucking, because why not, you know? You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @sassysoothsayer.
Hey guys, you guys can find me on Twitter at @demi_joa. I don't know. Talk to me about Love Lies Bleeding, please. I haven't talked to a lot of people about that movie. So yeah, feel free to come talk to me about that, or Kristen Stewart, or Katie O'Brien and their careers. I'm down. Like I said, find me on Twitter at @demi_joa. Thanks again for joining us. We are in the process of slowly getting back into this. Maybe our next episode might be a review of Monkey Man.
Oh, and Invincible, which finishes this upcoming week.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big time. And if you want to find Gabby, you can find her on Twitter at Goblin Queen, but Goblin is spelled with two B's.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know.
Yeah.
You got it.
I get it.
All right. It's been different. Bye.
Bye.
Only way to come back after a month-long hiatus is to come back with a Splash Zone.
Of course.
To me, on a scale from 1 to Gabby, how hard were you thirsting watching the newest episode of X-Men 97?
Oh, that's not where I thought this was going.
There's a lot of places this could have gone.
Man, I actually might have hit a Gabby level of thirst.
I'm right there with you in solidarity. I think I also.
Yeah, you can't even blame me. Like, it was the whole internet.
Yeah. On the Gabby scale, we were right there at the Gabby level.
I got a text the next day after I'd watched the episode from a friend, and they were like, "I love X-Men 97. And I sent back, "You just met the Goblin Queen, huh?" She was like, "Yep."
I love it.